Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Woo!
Woohoo!
We are the Schmaltz Brothers. We're geeks. We're brothers. I said that twice.
Do you have a musical friend, Patrick? I'm thinking
we need a little
intro music or something.
That is totally true.
I can try to find a musical friend.
And they have entrance music.
Yes, all right. That's Andrew. I'm Chris. That's Patrick.
I'll try to find. Well, you know, I could get some stuff
you're plugged into that wackadoo Portland.
Wackadoo Portland
artist colony.
Well, that's not a good way to
come on. So someone up there would be willing to write a jingle for a podcast, a geeky jingle.
I definitely have someone that we can make that happen.
I think we ought to commission them for beer.
Beer money.
Commission them for beer.
To do a geeky ditty for intro
music. We need 15 or 20 second jingle.
15 or 20 second. All right, fine.
Come on. Right. Geeky. It's got to be geeky.
Okay. You know. Okay.
Relax. Got to capture the essence of the brothers.
They have to have listened to all 43 episodes.
Is this?
Not even I have listened to all of them.
Some of the early ones are just
I'd be disqualified under that
well,
test.
Well, some of them we were still figuring out technical stuff.
The first 10 episodes, my technical stuff was crap. I sound terrible.
That's because you had your mic plugged in but didn't have it switched on.
I know. I didn't know what I was doing.
That's a brain-to-mouth issue.
That's brain-to-mouth. Dumb.
We are recording this Monday, October 19th. The 19th already. Jesus.
Today is the first day of the rest of our lives, boys.
Yes, today it is. This is what? Episode 43?
43.
This is 43.
Wow.
We're on track. I think we're going to get to 50.
I think we're on track for 50 at Star Wars Day.
I love it.
Yep.
So
we got to get Patrick's travel arrangements nailed down.
So when does the movie come out?
December 17th. The evening of December 27th.
I'm not going to be there that early in the month.
Tickets are on sale today.
Everybody out there, we're going to send out a Brothers Geek invites you to the movies. So we'll figure out a showtime, and we're inviting the whole world. This is it. This is the big one. I was at Barnes & Noble yesterday, and I was looking at the magazines, and one publication called Episode 7 the most anticipated movie ever, and I would completely agree with that.
That sounds right.
That's probably an accurate statement.
Yeah. So, we'll send out an invite. But yeah, December 17th. But we'll go at least once Patrick's here. And
heck yeah.
So we'll have a family outing.
Got to see the Well, we always see a movie on Christmas Day anyways. That's sort of like our...
Generally, yeah.
That's sort of like our thing.
Box Day, the 26th. So
we'll see. We'll see what movies are out. What'll be out at the time. We might just go see Star Wars again. Jeez. If it's terrible, then
it's not going to be terrible.
Terrible.
Not going to be terrible.
I'm going to dive right into we're going to do an extended scene into our discussion this week because all the new shows are coming back. We have a lot of new seasons to talk about.
All of our big
shows are coming back, and we're gonna say
well,
what
a lot
we're
of them have come back,
right?
And they're a couple episodes in, so we've got kind of we've got an informed idea.
We know what's gonna happen here.
Yeah, we've got an informed idea where their seasons are going, so we can kind of
let's just go down the list here. Everybody say what you think of we'll have a little discussion about everything. So Flash. Did everybody watch the Flash episodes?
What do we think?
Flash. What do we think of the first few episodes?
Well, let me ask this question have you identified any themes for this fall season? Anything that you want
with
to
the Flash or all shows?
All shows. Is there something that has emerged from any of the shows that are kind of a universal theme that you want to talk about? That's my sort of tossing out the.
Have you picked up a pattern recognition?
I'm just asking the question.
Oh,
humans have a tendency to impose pattern, right?
Yes,
true. None exists. I'm just asking the question.
Oh, okay. That's
anything that has leaped out?
I think for the Flash, Arrow, the first few, if I mean, because they're by the same showrunners, that there's been a lightness to both. You know, Flash was already pretty light, but Arrow seemed lighter than usual. They're having a little more fun with their show.
I don't know about that.
No, you think they're still pretty angsty? Still pretty.
I think Arrow is still very angsty. I think that just by the nature of where the character is of Oliver Queen, that he's going to be a little more lighthearted than he's been before, just because he's in love.
He's in love.
And he's in a That's good what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he's still.
They gotta kill Felicity Smoke,
and he's tormented about that.
I think.
He can't ever not be tormented. He's Oliver Queen. We're talking about Arrow now. Tormented
hero.
Here's my one problem with the first.
Heroes more compelling if they're tormented.
Here's
or if they really embrace kicking ass and being.
Well, I think we're going to be able to see that for sure when Supergirl comes, because she doesn't seem tormented.
She's not tormented.
She doesn't seem. She seems like.
Let's
She's
do this.
Gonna, you
know, Let's help people.
Coming of age type thing. Right. She's 23 years old.
Coming of age type thing.
Well, Flash is definitely more angsty than usual too, because the last season ended with this Harrison Wells like betraying him, and then he doesn't trust what's his name?
Jay Garrick.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. The Flash from the other universe. He doesn't trust him right away. He's, you know, all angsty about that. So like Flash,
but here's the difference. It took him two episodes to get over it.
Right. It's like, no big deal.
Arrow is defined by this ridiculous, constant angst. It's like,
dude, Christopher, are you over Arrow? Arrow become a chore for you?
Are you over
get
it?
To it? Get to it.
You're
starting out asking the question about Flash. But anyway, I am in this place where the theme I was thinking about are heroes that are really the comic. You know, this emerges from my comic book history, right? And reading comic books.
Yeah.
Are we more engaged, and do we have more? Get more enjoyment out of those heroes that are brooding and angsty and really negative? Versus those heroes that are clearly having fun doing what they're doing, and this goes back to the Holy Grail of comics, right? Our Holy Grail,
right? Yeah.
And the beatdown that the champion gives to every other hero, brooding or not brooding, and then the thing is the thing, and he's like, okay, we got to do what we got to do. I'm going to fight and never give up, and this is what I'm. You can't defeat me. That type of a positive sort of you know, he is what he is, and he's got to fight.
Exactly.
I go back to that, and he's not. You know, yeah, he has some angst on occasion, but most of the time. The dude is just, I'm huge and I'm made of rock and I'm busting ass.
Yeah, it's clobbering time.
It's clobbering.
It's clobbering time.
This is what I do. This is what I am, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And so I was thinking about that. And that's why Flash was so good last year, because it was him enthusiastically embracing sort of what he's got. And there's been a little bit of this Arrow angsty stuff at the beginning of the season. But I was very happy to see that he got over it. He was not trusting.
I think you're using the wrong terms when you say get over it. I think that we need to start. The idea is that they're overcoming adversity. Because when you have someone, and I never particularly
found
there's
a question of overcoming adversity and how you do that in terms of intelligently and emotionally and your viewpoint of the world. Pessimism versus optimism.
Exactly. He's overcoming things. He's got. Natural kind of, and I like Flash more and more because I never read the Flash comics. I thought it was kind of a boring character. I'm like, oh, he can run really fast. Who cares? I like what they're doing this year with the kind of the multiple universes. I like the little nods that they've made.
Andrew, if you want to read any Flash, you should read some of the Geoff Johns Flash.
I've read some of that. Because, I never found it particularly compelling.
Oh, man. Some of that with Professor Zoom, when he's fighting Zoom, It was, like, really good. Like,
well, and I can feel the fingerprints of that because, I mean, yeah. He's the head of DC Comics right now, and he's got his fingerprints all over all the DC properties TV and in the comics and even, you know, in the movies to some extent. Because so many of the storylines that they're
they're pulling from his
on multiple comic books. But I never found him compelling. But I like Grant Gustin's take on Barry Allen as the Flash. I like the team that he's got with all of them. It's funny. I saw a meme online this week. Caitlin Snow, Danielle Panabaker plays like the doctor who, you know, is a researcher and stuff like that on the show. And there was a little meme on Facebook because after this week, she had yet another superpowered guy in her exam room or whatever, and she was doing a physical on him, and yet another guy, you know, with his shirt off, all ripped up, and it's making the joke that, you know, Caitlin Snow is always just trolling to find the next hot superhero guy to be her boyfriend. I love her character. I mean, it's not overt. It's not like she flirts with these guys and, like, always asks them out to dinner and is, like, sexually aggressive. She's very professional, and she's a scientist. But I like both shows for different reasons. I think part of my affection for Arrow is the fact that I think Stephen Amell is just a great TV star. He embraces the fandom for Arrow just wholeheartedly. He's always posting on his Facebook.
You're in love with Stephen Amell.
I've never been a cult personality guy, and so he's limited by what he has to work with in my mind.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be Casey Jones in the next Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and I'll go see that.
My only problem with that is that they shouldn't have made a second Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Because the first one was terrible.
One was so bad that it was fun.
It wasn't terrible.
It was
How big is that mountain that they're going down, Christopher?
It's like Mount McKinley.
Ten minute long scene going to Everest.
It's Everest. No, yeah. Okay, all right. It's not Everest. It's K2.
K2.
Anyways, New York. Just outside of New York.
No. I love Flash.
It's a movie about Ninja Turtles, dude.
Yeah. And they learned ninjutsu from a book. So stupid.
You listen to yourself.
Yeah, I'm a freaking hipster. I'm a hipster about Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Wow.
Think about what you just asked. It's a movie about talking Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, you got to get it right.
How big the mountain is outside of New York?
You better get it right, because I take it real serious. This is real serious business we're doing here.
Real serious business. Wow.
Anyways, Flash and Arrow.
I'm not out on Arrow. I really enjoy both shows.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're not like on the fence
is
or
there,
anything.
Okay, here's another question though. Is there a show that you have given a chance this new season that you watched the first episode or two and you're done with it? You thought it might be good and now you've given up. It's not on your rotation anymore. Who's got a show like that?
I'm at any given point going to give up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because this is sort of like, I didn't finish last season, you know this, but they put it on Netflix, so I powered through the end of last season. Okay. And, like, there was a couple times where I'm like, okay, this is fun, but then there was a lot of face-palming and a lot of, like, okay, I'm just going to let this run, and I'm going to go to the bathroom, and I'm not going to stop it, like, kind of moments.
Yeah. I know those feelings.
That's the classic.
Yeah.
That's the classic.
It's like, I don't even care. I just have to get through it.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I just wanted to find out what happened so that I can get caught up. Well, the new season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is okay.
It's pushed me to the fence, dude, I have to say.
It's
pushed me to the fence. I am on the fence.
I don't care about this new, like, villain.
They did a bad job of engaging people with inhuman stuff. And two government agencies in conflict kind of thing.
Care.
It's like, oh my God, I can't imagine anything more boring than that.
Yeah, and then, like, Ward is, like, taking over Hydra. It's more Hydra stuff.
Squabbling over what we're going to do about superpowered people.
Yeah.
Really? That is the framing device for the show, for the season.
That is it.
Yeah.
And it's absurd that they would choose to do that. I can't. Yeah. I mean, it just, now that you've brought this up, it pisses me off so much.
Yep.
Because that's the, I mean, when you boils down to it, that's the framing device for the frickin' show.
For everything. For everything. Everybody
so
is like
terrible.
Right. Yeah. So I'm going to continue watching, but it's like I'm right back to where I was last season where I'm ready to like, okay, I'm just going to wait for it to be on Netflix so I can power through it. And
I'm actually
gonna watch, but man,
I'm waiting for Agent Carter to come back for season two, man.
Is Agent Carter definitely coming back? Because
oh,
I
yeah,
love that show,
right now.
Dude.
I follow Haley Atwell on Twitter, and they're shooting season two. Of season two is they're moving to Los Angeles, and they're setting up like a S.H.I.E.L.D. office in Los Angeles. So it's going to be like
I think that's 1940s really
Hollywood. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Agent Carter.
Agent Carter in... like the first season, it had its flaws, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does, but I feel like it in the whole it like finished stronger. And we were talking about how
Agent Carter has Haley Atwell. She is
she's
bona fide
legit
star.
She's very
that show. She
she's very 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 watchable and
exactly
and very you
compelling.
You
sure.
want to watch her. And well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. it's like we were talking about how it's too many episodes, and I think like they feel like they got to stretch it out. You know, yep. Agent Carter was 8 episodes. Every episode had something to it. There was go moments,
but then there was also cool like character moments where you got to know
she's in the
Agent
she's,
Carter.
Right, she's in the diner dealing with being you know a woman in a man's world type of stuff, and
we even complained about
that a little bit
last year too, how it got a little bit old.
It's a
little heavy handed with that, but. Yeah. You know, Haley Atwell made it work, and she had an interesting supporting cast. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also suffers from the fact that it's too ensemble-y almost. Like they work too hard to make everyone have a storyline when really there should be kind of – I mean even Angel, which we loved, I mean it got – you know, he had his central core of like 5 characters and everyone had a storyline, but it was 5 characters. But you knew that it was Angel's TV show.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has like 10.
Exactly.
There's too many characters, and I feel like you really just need to focus on – you need to focus on Daisy and you need to focus on – Coulson, and that's it. Like the rest
of
them.
I don't even care that much about Daisy. I don't find her very.
Well, I mean,
That's how they've screwed up the show. Is that she should be the most compelling and central character in the show, and she's not.
She's not exactly. They need to focus in on those two.
Yes,
and then the rest of them are just like you know they're just you know set dressing you know, and they're spending way too much time on how. This season already, like the whole going through the gate thing to getting Fitz back, like that they summed that up way too quickly.
Well, there's going to be ongoing trauma, and she said she has to go back.
That's so boring. Like,
who knows? I mean, there's mystery associated with it. I'm not so quick to write that off.
No, I like that there's this other universe, but I think that they should have they had more story with her being over there and the hunt for Fitz, you know, the hunt.
I think that would have been a little too much, like...
Is she Fitz or Simmons? I don't remember.
She's Simmons.
She's
Gemma
Simmons. Okay.
Yeah. I think that it would have been a little too much, you know, Angel searching for Fred in season 3. Mm. He gets crossed over. It might have been
worked.
A little, you know.
That worked.
It worked for 4 episodes.
This is the thing. They could have worked into, okay, we need things with powers to take us into this alternative 3
There
the
you
gate.
Go. There you
and
go.
And fight shit on the other side. No. It's this dumb, we got to basically... catch someone and pull them back through the portal. There's none. I mean, it's come on, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's that. What you guys are watching some shows that I have
show,
not.
Hey,
like,
the other show I want to mention that I'm on the fence about is Blindspot.
Yeah.
Oh.
They were all over the. You know, they were seriously hyping that at Comic-Con. It looked like an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And my God, is that a pretty lame one-note show.
It's bonehead. It's just a bonehead show.
And I want to like it, right. But man, it, I don't know how they can carry the, I don't know how they can carry it basically.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to last 20, I don't know how they can last a full season even, kind of with the trope that they've created. Yeah, it's just, it's going to get so bonehead so quick. I mean, yeah, they've, you know, where they are now, they've figured out who she is, they think. Right. But she's been disappeared for years, and she, I forget what the character's name is it Taylor? Yeah. So they think there's this girl named Taylor who got
right.
abducted.
She's taken as a kid. Anyway, yeah. I wanted to mention that that's absolutely...
I am totally with you. I'm on
the fence on that, and I might give it that's one or my two number more one episodes. Show. That's my number one show.
To get dropped?
To drop, yeah. In terms of shows really, that I was interested in,
yeah.
that now I'm completely on the fence about.
Yeah.
So
you know what I'm going to bring up right now that none of us have talked about, and I don't think... I don't know if any of us are even watching, but to the point where we haven't even talked about it, Heroes Reborn. I'm not even watching that show.
No, I haven't watched it at all.
Yeah, that was not. I mean, I knew it was coming out, but I haven't watched it.
I mean, I loved Heroes, but it ended so poorly.
Dude, I didn't even watch the last
season. Like, I don't
care.
Like, do we know if it's any good? Have we heard anything good?
Chris, do your girls watch that
show? Yes, they are watching it. They seem to like it.
Okay.
But that's
13 minds.
Dude, the first 9 episodes of the first season, Save the Cheerleader arc, we've talked about this, were awesome. It was great.
Yeah.
But it just kind of,
should we like go and give it a watch to see if it's worth, like,
I mean, it's on my DVR.
For the podcast, we should make an effort for next episode.
Yeah, we probably should check it out.
Check it out just to see. You know, if we watch the first 3 episodes,
people who are interested.
Yeah. I'm going to watch one episode, and if it sucks,
I didn't even watch the full premiere. So
I recorded it. I haven't watched 1 minute of it. I mean, I watch other shows on NBC, and I know it gets talked, it gets hyped up.
Well,
a lot
I just got so tired of Heroes. Like when that ended, I was like, "What is going on?" It failed so miserably. Because it was so good. It was like, this is Lost level good. And and then it just took a giant
jump.
You're
absolutely right when you describe it as Lost level good. It was that level of compelling.
Yeah.
In its beginning of its first season.
It sucked you in and you're so interested. And it was like one of the first new like superhero shows, like superpowered people shows way before... Yeah. And so you wanted it to be good, and it was, but then it fell apart.
Yep.
You guys are watching a couple shows that I am not, like Walking Dead is back.
Yeah. Are you current on Walking Dead, Christopher? Did you watch last night's episode?
I did.
Yeah, that Walking Dead turned the gore up to like 15 last night.
Whoa,
fantastic!
It was essentially the
opening 2 episodes of this season have been just some of the best of the whole.
Oh, I completely
series.
Agree. Completely yeah. agree.
Great, yeah. great stuff on all the Walking Dead themes. It's really terrific.
Mm. Yep, well, lots of, and they posed and they wrapped up questions and they posed a lot of new questions about. Certain characters coming back and leaving, but I was texting some people
who's
this morning.
Who's the threat?
About it.
Who's not the threat? What
exactly?
Are you know, and they and
how do you
managed
define
to
threat in this new world.
The great thing that they've done, which I applaud them for, the great thing that they've done is they've made the Walking Dead, the zombies, a relevant threat again.
Yeah.
And the way that they have done that is clever and, I mean, basically, because throughout the show, it's the crew that we've been following, they are zombie killers. Like, people never make a mistake. They never get bit. They always manage to kill the...
So the only time...
They have to combat the idea that, okay, they're going just... Okay, these things are gross, but they're really not a threat anymore. And the way they have done it this year is, okay, let's throw 10,000 at you.
Yep.
And that's exactly right. If you throw, you can't fight 10,000 zombies. And so these first two episodes are going to do, and then they throw in the human threat at the same time. It's a great thing. So
yeah, how they've set up what they're going to do for the back eight of this season. I mean, because that's how they do it. I think yeah, the back eight. I'm very excited to see where all of this goes because nothing ever stays safe for too long.
Yep.
You know, and you never and people's motivations change based on the situation because they're the zombies are the specter that exists everywhere and now the whole world is going to eat you and it's how you make your choices on a daily basis that figure out how you're going to survive. Yeah, just survive somehow was the message last night and it crystallized everything.
And they've kept the tension. They've managed the thing that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has failed to do is that it's compelling.
Yes.
And they find a reason for it to be compelling. And, you know, it's not like the themes are any different. That's the thing is that Walking Dead could be boring as hell because the themes never change. But what they do such a good job of executing around that theme in different ways and in interesting ways that every episode is compelling. Whereas Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they're all over the map and it's just not interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold your attention.
Unfortunately not.
Yeah,
man.
Yep.
All right. What about The Leftovers? I haven't watched the new Leftovers.
Oh my god,
that show!
That show is top 10 all time for me. I think.
Yeah.
Wow. The first couple episodes were enough.
Like, so good.
They've done three episodes in the new season.
So okay, I gotta watch them. I keep forgetting to watch it.
And you'll watch all three.
That's probably what's gonna happen. Yeah, I'll make an effort to watch that for next episode. So
you'll be like a puddle of just brain fried.
Brain fried.
Because it just bakes your noodle. All of the stuff that these people go through and just the continuing. Yeah, and we talk about it. It's so deep and it's everything feels so true.
Right.
Yes, really.
It feels so true. Like every reaction that these people have, you understand it.
The writing, the performances, everything about the music, the cinematography, everything is
it's top level,
fantastic. Yeah.
It's as good as anything on TV right now.
Oh my God. Wow! Well,
if you buy into the conceit of the show, if you buy that you know what this happened, it's a real situation for these people. They become fully realized people right in front of you who are dealing with this immense tragedy, which is a common theme with TV these days, is how people react to tragedy and how people react when the world fundamentally changes on them. And The Leftovers does it in such a unique way. And everything you empathize and you're repulsed by these people at the same time. I mean, legitimately, you were like, how can they do this? And then you're like, wow, that makes sense. And then you reflect yourself on how you would deal with that because you're reacting so viscerally to what these people are going through. Like you're repulsed and you're empathizing at the same time. It's crazy how they pull that off. It's amazing.
That sounds great.
It is legitimately amazing what they can pull off on the show. I will go watch it for sure.
I mean that's the new TV shows. I'm still excited for Supergirl starts next Monday.
Next Monday.
Yes, this household is very excited.
I will definitely be watching. My youngest
is very charged up about watching that with me, and I will definitely be watching.
Did you guys also see the trailer for Jessica Jones? The like teaser,
yes.
teaser stuff.
Yeah, no, I got to rewatch Daredevil.
Pretty excited about that.
I'm in on Jessica Jones for sure.
And then there was a teaser for Daredevil coming back too.
Yeah, Daredevil's early 2016.
Mm-hmm. So
on Netflix.
So yeah, we're looking forward to those, but I like those two coming. Any other shows that you guys want to talk about, or should we?
I want to prop up just for a second, just because it's on my mind. Into the Badlands is coming to AMC.
What is that?
I'm intrigued by that show very much.
So am I, because it's a martial arts show. It looks like it's kind of a wire work wushu
post-apocalyptic.
Whoa!
Yeah, starring like. an Asian male lead on a major American TV show, which is that'll be at least a little bit different to kind of see that.
Into the Badlands is what it's called.
Yeah, I guess the idea of the show is that it's set in a post-apocalyptic world. There's no guns, and it's like the guns are outlawed by law and by mutual agreement, I guess. Because the way they say it is guns have been banished. So, I mean, but there's like motorcycles and cars and some level of technology.
Whoa, this looks crazy.
But it says combat has become an art form, and it's like wire work, martial arts, sword fighting, you know, ass kicking looking stuff. So
I love it. That sounds great.
Yeah, cool.
Mid-November, I think it starts. I'm excited. I'm going
to November 15th on AMC. Yep. You guys are right.
I'll be watching that. It'll coincide with the end of this season of Walking Dead. So.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Was there any other scene? Well, we all saw Bridge of Spies, right?
I did, yeah.
Yes.
Can we give a short little review on Bridge of Spies?
Sure.
Yeah, go for it, Andrew. What do you think?
I think it's one of Steven Spielberg's best movies in the past 10 years. I thought it was wonderfully made.
All right.
Yeah. It slows down a little bit at the end for me, just because it's so much back and forth, but it's wonderfully, wonderfully made. It just gets a little slow at the end. That's all.
All right. Christopher, what did you think of Bridge of Spies?
I enjoyed it very much. Great period movie. Great sort of interesting commentary on the themes of that time. And commentary on the themes of today. Performances were great. I agree that the pacing was a little uneven, but for the most part, really good in terms of how they dealt with the issues that they were talking about and the time frame that you're talking about. I thought it was a very, very good historical drama.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was good, but I don't know if I like it as much as you guys. Like I feel like it was just good, but not great. I think I expected more from Steven Spielberg, and maybe my expectations are getting in my way. But I was not like blown away by this movie. Okay. I think it has to do with how it looked. I don't think it was shot very well. To be honest with you,
what do you mean by that?
Like cinematography.
But what aspects of the cinematography?
I think some of the shots look kind of sloppy. I think some of the edits look kind of weak.
Educate me. How is a shot sloppy? It's an honest question. I have no idea.
So for my take, my style that I really like, I like close-ups. I like there to not be a lot of useless space around the characters.
That's Steven Spielberg's style, though. That's indicative of all of his movies.
I'm trying to understand his commentary.
The framing of the characters doesn't seem very. Some of the camera movements were interesting, but I feel like they were done kind of poorly.
Horizontally. Vertically?
There's one shot that stands out to my mind when we're in Russia, when Gary Powers first gets shot down and he's on trial, and it's all in Russian. One shot where we're on the people, the judges, and then we turn to Gary Powers and we see him, and then the camera, this doesn't break, there's no edit, and the camera comes back to the judges, and then we pull out and we see the crowd. That's one long shot, one long take. I feel like that should have been more impactful, but the camera work didn't feel as smooth as I would have liked, and so it should have been a better shot, but it wasn't.
Was that? I don't remember actually. Now that you say that, was that all one continuous shot?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was no cut.
There's no cut.
Okay.
And I think it should have been like, wow, that's a great shot. It looks great, but it was just a little. It felt a little weak. For what it was.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I don't know. Andrew's saying the style is, but it should have been like Munich was a lot better in the way it was shot. I think similar kind of spy movie. The filter that they used, the lighting. I just feel like it was it felt very flat and
you know, that's funny you say that, because now that I'm thinking about that, I think I had exactly that reaction when mm-hmm. I'm watching the movie.
Yep.
Where it's like, this should have been a much more dramatic
yes.
moment.
Uh-huh. And it's punctuated.
It's sort of just like a, huh.
Yeah, you don't know why.
And I didn't know why. That's a really, really interesting perspective. Because I'm thinking about what I'm sitting in the theater, and I'm remembering exactly, because I'm, you know, the Russian studies guy, and anything uh-huh. to do with the Soviet Union, I'm interested in, right? And that's funny you say that, because I remember having that. It wasn't this should have been a holy shit. It was a.
It just should have hit you harder.
It yeah. should have hit harder.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. It's mm-hmm. a really good point. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know if you guys yeah. noticed this, but there's probably, like, in the 2 hour long movie, there's probably about 10 minutes of music in the whole thing. Did you guys notice that? There's very little scoring. And the first 30 minutes, there's no music up until the part where he's walking with the umbrella and the CIA guy is following him.
Right.
That's the first time there's score. And I'm like, why are they putting score in this scene?
And it was jarring.
It was jarring. Yes.
Yeah.
So I feel like,
why?
I think technically the movie has some flaws, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it was interesting choices there. That's very good.
So, beautifully acted, really good script. I love the story.
Well, Joel, Coen Brothers co-wrote the screenplay.
Dude, it's so good. It's some of the dialogue back and forth was so clever.
Can we talk a little bit about the fact that the Coen Brothers are coming out with a movie set in 1950s Hollywood called Hail Caesar?
Oh, yeah, that looks great.
It looks fucking fantastic.
You want to talk about shots looking beautiful. That movie shot by Roger Deakins, who shoots all of the Coen Brothers movies, except for a few. The trailer, you can tell, looks freaking gorgeous. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes,
it looks
yes.
like classic Hollywood.
Because Roger Deakins knows what the hell he's doing, and he moves the camera like a baller, like a boss.
Yeah.
It's part of the art of the
totally.
You can really tell. Part of the artistry of a movie like that is in sort of how it's
like
shot,
in that
right?
movie, Cicero, or is that how you say it?
Sicario. Yeah,
Sicario. It's shot by Roger Deakins. It's beautiful because of that. You know,
my God. That's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Yeah. Do you want to hear my least favorite movie of the year?
Here we go.
Crimson Peak. Oh my God, what just happened with that movie? Like
that bad?
Yeah.
Well,
I want to see it.
So, like, I got out of the theater and I'm like, what the f did I just watch? Like, well, because like the whole trailer leads towards like, oh, she goes to this haunted house. She's like stuck in this thing, and there's some like mystery that she needs to solve. But like, what the takeaway that I got from this is like, if you took ghosts out of the movie completely, the movie would have played out the exact same way. Like, completely, it feels very shoehorned in. Once you see the whole movie, you're like, why does she need to see ghosts for this to happen? Like, it's just completely pointless.
But that's a larger genre commentary on gothic romances, dude. That's exactly the point.
It looked beautiful. Guillermo del Toro
gothic romances it's about human beings. Dealing with weird shit, but it's all about human beings.
Right.
Here's the question, though. Okay. Is Jessica Chastain awesome in the movie?
I heard that it's incredible. The last, like, 30 minutes are bonkers.
She is very, very good, but she kind of is like a caricature of herself. Like,
okay.
I wasn't blown away by Jessica Chastain's performance. Oh, you're just like this joke now. That's how okay. I really thought
it was too broad, her performance.
Yes, it was. There's a moment at the end, and I don't want to ruin it, that I wanted something to happen that would have improved her character dramatically, and it didn't play out how I thought it should have. Okay. And I feel like that was weak because of it. And if you guys go see it and you want to know what that moment is, I will tell you, but like you...
No, don't say it.
Right, right.
I'm going to see it.
It would have put like an exclamation point on her character, and it didn't. Okay. And so it was very beautiful because Guillermo del Toro does like art like you wouldn't believe, and the colors looked so good.
His art design and his direction of all of his movies are always really interesting to look at.
The building and the structure is very interesting. The ghost design was very creepy and fun. But like, I mean, the story was just pointless, and I just was not engaged. I was taken out by it a lot.
Huh.
That's a bummer.
And it moves very slowly.
I've been reading that it's a love it or hate it type of film.
Yeah, I just don't think it was very well made. Like this is like the reverse.
This is the reverse of Bridge of Spies, dude. Because Del Toro is an expert.
No. Here's what it is. This is the reverse of Bridge of Spies. It's looked amazing, beautifully shot, like totally compelling visually, and music was perfect, and all that, and it was edited like seamlessly. But the story was not interesting. The characters were boring. It was acted poorly. That's what it comes down to. So, the dialogue, it was like, okay. I don't care. I wanted it to hit harder, and it didn't hit harder.
This is like Guillermo del Toro. This is like a passion project for him. Like he. Yeah.
Well, it's his homage. Again, I think you have to make sure you're going into it with the right perspective. This is his homage to gothic romance, not horror movies.
Right. Right. And I don't think that
it's not a horror. It's not intended to be a horror movie.
Right.
It's an homage to the gothic romances of yore.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I don't understand that subgenre very well. Okay. Then.
Well, you might read up on that a little bit and listen. if you've watched his interviews or watched something, the way he describes it, that's what it is. So maybe that can help explain some of his choices.
Here's what I'm thinking, Christopher, to only, you know, argue my point is...
You
can attempt to do something that's an homage, but you still have to change it a little bit to modern sensibilities. I don't know if that... Right.
Well, I think a lot of gear... I haven't seen the movie either, but... A lot of Del Toro's movies are dependent on the viewer and what they bring to it. I absolutely love Pacific Rim. I think it's such a fun, just wild adventure that reminds me of what it was like watching Saturday morning cartoons as a kid. And there are other people that are just like, this is the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
Well,
this
Pacific Rim like suffers from the same thing. Like, don't give a crap about any of the characters except for the main two. And you don't give a crap. The story is like pointless. You just want to see robots punch monsters in the face.
That was like his homage to like the kaiju movies that he watched as a kid. And I think if that totally worked on me, I can rewatch that movie all the time. And then other people are like, "This movie's so stupid."
You know what Pacific Rim needs or Crimson Peak needs is robots punching monsters in the face. That's what it needs.
I think every movie needs robots punching.
Staple of gothic romance.
Yes, exactly. That would improve Crimson Peak like substantially. Just a robot just shows up and he punches the ghosts in the face. I'm fine with that. All right,
Gypsy Danger.
All right. Yeah. We kind of beat scene to death. So let's.
Yeah, we've done
let's,
an hour on stuff we've watched lately.
You
so.
Know,
yeah,
it's cool.
Well yeah, it
it's
is cool.
Cool. Let's cut through some Red and Played real quick, and then get out of here. So
yeah.
Christopher, what you got for Red?
Red. I got multiple things to report on. I'm not quite finished with the Aeronauts Windlass, but I'm working my way through that, enjoying that very much.
All right.
That's the Jim Butcher book.
Yes.
I am current on, I have issue 12 of Rat Queens. Issue 12 is awesome.
I got to go down. To
Rat Queens continues to be awesome. I loved it. I am current on the Star Wars comic.
You guys got to give me the heads up when the Rat Queens trade is out, so because yes. I'm not going to pick up issues. I'm just
I actually got a call from Samurai this week. I have not been down in a very long time. Mm-hmm. I need to go down and pick up my books and get my comics in order.
Because
I've been focusing. I've been reading like keep going, and then I'll report
hijacking
on what I'm
my red, right. Dude.
Sorry.
Hijack my red.
I'm a hijacker. I'm a segment
hijacker.
Hijack
my red. I am current on Star Wars. I am current on Secret Wars.
Whoa.
I am current on Lando. I am current on Batman.
Wow.
So yeah.
Christopher has a lot of time on his hands for some reason.
I am reading like a madman. It's good.
Yeah, you are.
Very good. Lots of entertaining stuff happening in all series. Darth Vader. I'm current on Darth Vader. And wow, that's my favorite Star Wars genre book is the Darth Vader book. And that's awesome because the conflicts in the Darth Vader book are very interesting. So, So I'm reading a lot. I'm all over the place. It's good stuff.
You are, man. You're all over those comics. You're
yep.
Johnny on the spot with that
love
stuff.
It.
Cool,
love
cool.
It.
Cool.
Andrew.
I have consumed Abaddon's Gate. I am done.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, dude.
Nice.
What's your take on that book?
That book grabs you by the horns and does not let go. For about 400 pages. The first 100 pages, just by the design of the story, are a little slow. But once a certain event takes place, the next 450 pages, you know, I think I read it in 6 days.
Wow.
And, you know, I still managed to keep my girlfriend happy and hold down a job.
We don't need to hear about
I didn't give any details, did I?
Hey, yo.
Watch it.
Gotta keep my girlfriend happy. You know, like men do. You know,
at least not neglect her so bad that she, you know, throws me out of the house. But yeah, no, that is a great book series. That book is very, very good. Honestly, I the only critique I have of the book series so far is I love the kind of central four characters, the crew of the Rosinante, and how it follows how they get involved in all of these events. And those characters are really interesting and really well drawn. I get so caught up with the other characters that get added per book that don't seem to come back. Like the character in Abaddon's Gate that I have fallen in love with is the preacher named Anna. She is a great character, and I want her to come back, and I want her to get more involved in stuff, and I don't know if she will, but it's the same thing with, I mean, the critique on, the only critique I would have about, what's the one before it? Caliban's War. The characters of Bobby and, Avra Sala. They're wonderful.
They return.
Oh, I want them. I'm glad to hear that, because I love those characters.
Spoiler! They don't die.
They don't.
At least spoiler that they
yet.
Don't die.
Not yet, anyway.
Not yet. You never know. Mm-hmm. But yes, no. I consumed Abaddon's Gate. I am going to get the next book in the series, Nemesis Game.
I welcome your take on the next one because that was the. Anyway, I won't.
Okay. Yeah, so I am going to either purchase that today or tomorrow so that I can start reading that. I am going the new Robert Galbraith mystery story that the series that I love, the new one drops tomorrow. So I will
take a little bit of a break from reading the Expanse series so I could read that book, because I am extremely excited to read that.
Cool.
Career of Evil. So that series is awesome. But yeah, no, the Expanse series, it is definitely filling the void for me until the next Game of Thrones book comes out. So I'm I'm very much enjoying that whole universe and all those characters very much.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
I am in the middle of the Aeronauts Win Last. It's pretty good. I think it's fun. It's more like fun than good, I would say. I wasn't enjoying part of the beginning, but then there's something that happens like a few chapters in that really like set off the story for me. Like, I didn't care about one of the main characters getting into a duel. You know what I'm talking about, Christopher?
Yes, I do.
I was like this is pointless. I don't care about this. Like, start the story. I wish it would have started a little sooner. But then
that's a little. I mean, it's a little world building and a little bit, learn about the characters a little in conflict. So.
I'm enjoying it. I just I'm not like totally like, oh, I need to listen to this, or oh man, like I can't wait to find out what's happening.
Yeah, I kind of had the same reaction. I like Butcher, and I'll be a fan of his.
Right.
Part of me wishes it was like, oh my god!
Right.
It's not that.
It is not, oh my god, I need to find out. Like, so it's just a good story so far. So I'm into it. What I am oh my god about is the volume 4 of Saga is out. I have only read like a first few 4 pages of it, but I love that series, and so I will be reading that and reporting.
Yeah, I was current on Saga, and then I dropped off. I need to re-up on that, because, man, I love that book.
Dude, it's so good. It's so good.
It's a great comic.
So, yeah.
So if they're on Volume 4, they must be through, what, 20 or 30 issues
of the comic? Like that. I think they're 5-issue trades.
5-issue trades. Okay.
So I think they're in the 20s, the early 20s right now. So
okay.
Yeah. So I think I'm like 5 or 6 behind.
Right. So cool.
Who's the writer on the Saga?
That is Brian K. Vaughan.
Brian K. Vaughan. Yeah. No, his books are always
good.
Different and always interesting.
He's he is very. He did Runaways, and then he did Why Last Man. And so
there was
he's
a big
all
push
over the
a couple
place
years
man.
Ago to make a Why the Last Man TV series.
They're making it. I thought I saw a headline that said that it was getting made. Yeah.
Dude, that would be really fun to watch. That's an interesting story, and in TV form, like, I kind of lost interest in the comic, but in TV form I think Why Last Man would be really, really interesting. Cuz that's a really great story. That's all I'm really reading. So we can dive right into Played. Andrew, Played. Go.
Destiny continues to be played. Lots of quests going on. It's almost overwhelming the amount of content that there is. I need to focus on things more and blow through things and actually, you know, because there's so much to do that
there
you can
is
get
a lot
lost in all
now,
the options.
Yes.
So I need to have more focus with my gameplay. But as of next week, October 27th, Halo 5 drops. Woo. And
are you getting
Xbox One, and I will be buying Halo 5 for the Xbox One next week, if not shortly thereafter.
Could I recommend you buying your Xbox One? Are you getting like the Halo 5 like edition of the?
I need to decide on that. I kind of want to buy the Xbox One with the most capability, so I want to get it with a Kinect. I think I'm going to go the full tilt
and
get the Kinect.
I would recommend you buying your Xbox One maybe like a few days before, so that you could iron out all the bugs. If you're trying to figure out
it's
bugs,
not a bad idea.
If you're trying to iron out bugs with Halo 5 in your hand, you're going to be so pissed. Like,
probably. That's a good point.
So,
that's a good recommendation.
You can honestly be patient and just get it all set up and worked out the kinks and then load Halo 5.
I could. Yeah.
Yeah.
I may be asking my big brother, who's more tech savvy than me, to help me set up my Halo, my Xbox One when I buy it. Yeah, the next 10 years.
Your big brother would be happy to assist.
He's a good awesome. He's a good second choice, seeing as how he's closer to you than I am.
Well, so your dumbass moved away.
So second choice?
Why don't you just eat some diarrhea soup for lunch? How's that?
That's lovely.
Probably will. Yeah. That sounds good.
Diarrhea soup.
Horrid.
Horrid.
Halo 5. Oh, man.
Next week, man.
Yeah, well, did any of you guys watch any of the beta testing that was going on with Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront?
I caught a little bit of it, yes. I caught a little bit of commentary, but I didn't really watch a lot of it.
Yeah, everybody was playing that over the weekend, and it looks really good. That's the game that I'm more excited about than anything. That game looks fantastic, and a lot of fun, and
I think I'll probably get that for the Xbox One once that drops.
Well,
in November.
If you have that when I come visit, I will definitely play that with
well,
you.
Well, I'll have it then.
Jerk face. And of course, the brother. I mean, we played Halo together on our original Xboxes on separate televisions.
Yes.
in a giant
local area network.
We would have LAN parties.
We had LAN parties.
LAN parties in your house. Yeah.
That was,
so awesome.
So we will definitely be playing Halo 5 together when I come visit split screen, so I can trounce you fools.
100% we will.
I don't know, dude. My first person shooter skills have over the past year of playing.
Have you?
All right, the smack talk begins. I love it.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the past, I don't know, 15 years, Andrew. I am just better at games than you will ever be. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna be like Goku coming out of that damn spaceship.
This is what I'm gonna do right
now.
I'm not gonna play a first person shooter for the next 3 months leading up. So you'll see me at my worst, and you'll be at your best, and we'll see how you do. We'll see how you do.
We're gonna keep tabs of this on our website.
This is gonna be a lot of fun.
Multiplayer match scores.
Multiplayer match.
Turn your head into.
You're gonna have a page for the brothers competition.
I'm gonna turn your head into a canoe. I'm gonna just dome shot after dome shot after dome shot.
Snipers.
Bring it, bro.
Snipers and Blood Gulch.
Bring it, bro.
Oh my god! Please God, let there
snipers,
be a Blood Gulch.
Oh my god!
Blood Gulch.
Snipers and Blood Gulch will be so much fun.
Awesome.
Yeah, it will be a lot of fun.
Forty-five minute
matches.
45 minutes of just looking for each other.
Seriously, just creeping behind
rocks. Just creeping behind rocks.
And then just laughing.
Laughing. Oh,
God. We're smoked.
Some of the best games.
And we literally play for 45 minutes.
Yeah, some of the best games like ever.
Of my life.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, easily.
Yeah, totally.
Easily so much fun.
Snipers and Blood Gulch.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
Awesome. So yeah, Christopher played
Destiny. Main hunter is 291.
Yes.
Yeah.
My warlock is 260 ish. Game is great. Lots of stuff to do. You know, core gameplay is great, and the new stuff is very fun. So I love that game. Forza 6 looks incredible. They've really done a good job with the career. They break up the career with showcase events where you can race different cars from different eras.
What's your go-to car with Forza 6? What car do you just love?
Current go-to car for Forza 6. Ooh, what is that? Shit, that's a good question. Well, that answers the question alone. I don't have one that is my go-to car.
Mm. Wow.
So if I can't think of one immediately, I don't have one.
Sorry. So you like enough of them that they're all solid cars?
So far, I mean, because I'm a longtime Forza person, I got a lot of free cars.
Okay.
But what I've been focused on is career mode, and so career mode throws you into all kinds of different cars. Different series, and so I haven't been racing a single car. I've been switching.
That's
like right now I'm in a BMW series, and so I'm racing a specific BMW, and so
like
you're
racing like M3s or
the car that I'm racing is an M5.
Oh,
right now.
Nice.
Very fun. Very fun. Man. So, but as I said, the showcase events throw you into different cars. Like, I think I mentioned the Indy. You race at Indianapolis in an Indy car.
Oh, wow.
And other showcase events throw you into Audis and other different types of cars. So they've been very cool. It's a good game.
That's cool,
very,
man.
That's about it for right now. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yep.
I continued to play Dungeon Quest on my phone a little bit. I did end up buying an extra slot, so I have an extra character. So I got the wizard. It's only 99 cents, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But I'm playing that, which is great because when you have two separate characters, like I had the rogue and then now the wizard, you can hire your other character to like run around with you as like AI. Cool. So I'm the wizard like shooting stuff, but I have this really like OP rogue with me that just murders everything. So I'm just like cutting swaths through.
That's
like
fun.
Like all the I'm just destroying everything and it's like leveling up real quick. And so eventually I'll have to lower the difficulty, but for now I have it like on. I have that shit on 11, and I'm just it's just killing everything for me. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Here's a little piece of news, just to step on your segment a little bit, Patrick.
Sure.
Destiny this week has added microtransactions to the game, where you can buy emotes from a vendor, and fandom. The Destiny community, well, a certain segment of it, lost their shit that this was going to be the slippery slope that leads to you spend $10 and you get a super OP piece of gear.
This is... Yeah, they're always going to have, like, freak-out reactions.
Oh, it's never going to happen.
It's all going to be cosmetic.
Yeah.
Oh, completely. And, I mean, the new dances are fun. You can taunt people and do other kind of funny gestures.
I'm okay with, like, cosmetic crap, because I don't care about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. You don't have to buy it.
Yeah.
So you don't have to buy it.
It's just to make yourself look cool. But as soon as they charge you for a gun or a piece of armor, everyone will stop playing the game. Like,
I completely agree with you. I will stop playing the game.
Yeah, exactly.
The moment it becomes pay to win, they'll lose people.
Yes. So,
exactly. Yes. I am one of them because I am not.
I think there's a lot of people who, you know, they buy into the cosmetic.
They know that. They won't,
aspect of it.
I think it's fun. I mean, it allows you to differentiate your character and make it a little more personal. Because
here's
you
the problem.
Kind of...
Here's the problem that I have with like microtransactions in a game that you pay for that you know they've already made money. Like why not just give that content away for free? They've already sold the game, and you pay for Xbox Live to play it. So why do they need to, like, this is my whole problem with Destiny is the nickel and diming. It's just like, why don't you just give that stuff for free?
And that's surprising for me to hear from you because you were a WoW guy and you played $15 a month.
Yeah, but then.
For two years.
No, but I paid for the content.
Play the same shit
and
all
World of Warcraft time. Didn't have microtransactions at the time that I played,
no, it
bro.
Didn't.
They had zero.
No, I understand that. I'm just
they didn't have
paid,
because I paid for everything and all the content was there.
Game.
It's
and then
different.
You paid for the subscription every single
but
month,
I paid
too.
So no. Here's the problem though. You're missing the key point there, bro. Is I paid and everything was available to me. There was nothing that I couldn't achieve with going through a dungeon or unlocking some achievement or something. There was no like, oh, you can buy this for this much money.
And I'm not saying it's pay to win stuff. I'm saying that your general gripe with Destiny is they're nickel and diming you.
Yeah.
But you pay for the base game and then you pay for the subscription with other
and
MMOs.
And all the expansions.
And you didn't bitch about it then.
And I'm but they're doing both to you. You realize that, Andrew? You're paying for a subscription. You're paying for the game, and you're things are behind. There's content behind money.
If you don't want to buy the microtransactions, don't buy.
Well, obviously, I'm not playing the game.
Whoa! You're talking about Destiny? There's no content behind the money.
Well, what are we just talking about? Dancing and colors and crap.
That's not like, content. That's cosmetic.
Well, yeah, but still, like
it's not gameplay.
There. Okay. Okay.
It's not gameplay. And see, the only
this
thing
is I listened to Giant Bomb and they have heartburn over the whole sort of new it's a new financial model for games. Yeah. You just got to get over it.
Yeah, it is.
Something
else.
Right. I mean, you're a consumer. You can choose not to spend your money.
That's what I'm choosing.
This is the point.
Yeah.
So, as long as they keep it away from core, this is the problem with phone games and free to play shit, where there's actually real content behind this nickel and diming shit, which is all phone games are, right? That's the model that is terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Destiny, you pay your $60 or now $80 to get the full game, and you don't have to spend another dime. Mm-hmm. You can play that game and get all of your content out of it. I mean, how many hours? What's the value proposition for an $80 game when you're spending days upon days and hours of gameplay? In my mind, the value proposition is great because they've given you lots of content. Who gives a shit about the stupid emotes? If I have to pay $5 for the best gun in the game, I'm out. I'm done. And they know that.
All right.
Because that's not the model.
Okay. I see your point. I agree with you.
And your point is well taken too, Patrick, because you've elected not to play the game anymore.
Did we just lose Christopher?
I heard. I'm here.
Oh, I heard I heard a Skype balking at me.
Okay. Here. Nope.
We're here.
I understand people's heartburn over, and I totally respect your decision as a consumer not to do anything more, because that's fine. That's your money. You choose how to spend it. I will not be buying any emotes with real money. It's just not going to happen. I don't give a shit. I don't care enough about it. But other people may love that stuff, and that's fine. So.
My gripe with the game just comes to how much time I was playing it, and so I'd rather do other things is like what it really comes down to.
It sounds like you just have a naturally addictive personality for video games.
Video games too.
You would play freaking WoW for 10 hours every night until you broke yourself of that habit.
Yeah,
you were playing night, and then you found Destiny, and you're playing Destiny for 10 hours every single night.
Fine, that's a rational choice to achieve.
I'd like to finish up my played with play Betrayal at House on the Hill with Shane, Gabby, and Tuesday. Tuesday.
Did anyone get stabbed? Hyper competitive. All of those people are.
I got stabbed in the game because I'm the one who turned evil.
Nice.
The evil scenario that we had. I was the commander of giant human-eating plants, and so I was in charge of plants, and they had to destroy the roots.
Nice.
And so I was like tentacles, and I was attacking them, and there was this moment where I was about to kill everyone, and they barely like rolled like the luckiest rolls in the world.
That's awesome. And survived
and beat me.
Oh, wow.
So
I'm sure that Gabby was so pissed off.
Yes.
She is so competitive, man.
Yeah,
well,
she
both
is.
Of them are. Both. I don't know how. I mean, those two are. They seem super happy. They're so competitive. Like, how do they not just want to strangle each other?
That's why they, like. That's why they. You know, Catan games can turn dark, man. Like. Like Catan gets real serious in that house, it's the most annoying thing too is like when I get like the luckiest rolls in the world, it drives her insane because like she has no control over it. Like she can't stop me from getting a lucky good roll,
right,
and so it just and like when I win like that, she just scoffs like, honestly like. I think we're all pretty even on wins with Catan, so we have different tactics of winning, but like whenever like someone is just getting the luckiest like run of dice roll, it just drives her insane. That's pretty great.
Yeah, it is.
I continue
to keep my head on a swivel because I want to buy Castle Panic and I want to play it with family.
It's so fun. Yeah.
That's such a fun. It'd be such a fun game to play with all the girls.
Well, Christopher has some games Well, Castle Panic is so easy to understand that everybody can play it.
Like everyone could get involved, right. And it's a ticking clock, and it's just got that natural fun kind of tension.
It's just really simple. You know what you need to do. Once you learn the basic, the mechanics, it's just about, like everybody working together and talking about stuff. And
it's
and,
a super basic game. It's so easy to pick up.
And then there's some, like, really good...
Do they sell out of Samurai?
I don't know.
I think they do, actually.
It's a cheap game. I mean, it's been out for a while, so it's only like $25, and it's totally worth it.
They don't. It's not at Target, and it's not at Barnes and Noble. I suppose
I got mine off.
I
got mine off of Amazon, and I it's totally worth it.
Yeah, it's fun. The girls would love playing that game.
I need to get it. Yeah.
All right, Andrew. What trivia do you have for us? What Star Wars trivia do you have for us?
Because we are.
Leading to the
59 days.
59 days.
Wow. Let me get the actual count.
That's crazy.
There is a trailer premiering this evening.
Oh yeah,
the last newest trailer for
Monday Night Football, right?
It'll be at halftime. Monday Night Football.
Do you think it'll
tonight?
Do you think it'll drop on the internet before that? It usually does.
I'm curious about that. I think maybe. It'll be around the same time.
Well, last time we talked about how they were releasing it with a Disney movie, and we had to go see that Disney movie to see it, they released it on YouTube that same day. So,
yeah. It'll be on the internet around this
evening. It'll be on the internet sometime today, yeah. I think.
But, I mean, I have Monday Night Football set to record.
Or tomorrow. So it will definitely be on tomorrow, because you can't stop. You can't stop the signal.
You can't stop the signal. Serenity taught us that.
Yep. Mr. Universe, thank you.
So, in episode 3, Obi-Wan Kenobi is sent on a mission to hunt down General Grievous on Utapau.
Ooh.
After an intense lightsaber duel and a perilous chase, Obi-Wan Kenobi manages to shoot Grievous just before the droid general is able to escape. What two-word comment does Obi-Wan make about using a blaster to finally defeat the villain?
So uncivilized. Is that it?
That's Patrick's answer. Christopher, do you have an answer?
I concur.
You are both absolutely correct.
Woo!
Last words, so uncivilized.
So uncivilized.
I think we can agree that if there's anything that's actually good about the prequel trilogy, it's Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor. So good. Obi-Wan Kenobi. He got it, dude.
All of those movies. He made it so much fun playing Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He made it, somewhat watchable. So
the only parts of episode 2 that are watchable are the Obi-Wan Kenobi parts.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's awesome. And honestly, in episode 1, when he, the duel that he and Darth Maul have, I mean, it's stuntmen, but Obi-Wan Kenobi is totally believable as a badass Jedi Knight in the first one.
I agree with that. I think that's one of the better actually lightsaber duels.
I agree.
All right. If you'd like to help Andrew with his Star Wars trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the podcast if you have any questions or comments at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. You should also follow us on Facebook, our new Facebook page, Facebook/brothersgeekpodcast. That'll pretty much do it, huh?
That'll pretty much do it.
All right. Goodbye.
Greedo shot second.
Ho, 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 ho.